This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
California, here I come. Right back where I started from. Where bowers of flowers bloom in the sun. Each morning at dawning, birdies sing and everything a sun-kissed miss said, don't be late. That's why I can hardly wait. Open up that golden gate, California, here I come.
California, I've been blue since I've been away from you. So lonely and only dreaming of home. I wonder and ponder sunny places, friendly faces.
When you hit the trail a while, seems you rarely see a smile. So I'm heading home in style, California.
We're all going to California today in our mind. Gavin Newsom possibly being recalled as governor of the Golden State. So that's why we thought we'd play a little bit of that wonderful song. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, who finds all those songs, by the way, I want to tip my hat to him. He's always coming up with any song I ask him to find, he finds it. He's like a song digger. You know what the gold digger term was? He's a song digger. He can find them. So we thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, September the 14th already. Wow, we're halfway through the month. Halfway through the month. In a few minutes, Ben Weingarten of Real Clear Politics is going to be with us. We're going to talk about their database that compares the January 6th violence at the Capitol building with rioting by Black Lives Matter across the country during the summer. So we're going to take a look. And as we mentioned, Californians are going to the polls today in the recall vote of Governor Gavin Newsom. Here's the question. Is he going to get kicked out? Or is he going to stay to fight another day? We're going to take a look. And by the way, speaking of getting kicked out, how incompetent is President Biden really? Really? I mean, we make jokes, don't we? His slow shuffle to the lectern and his kind of, I don't know, vacant-eyed stare. Which is,
I got them $1.9 trillion.
And his strange way of bending forward and talking directly into the microphone. Like this. He wants to be intimate with you. God spare us. Anyway, is he really affected by a loss of mental acuity? That's what we want to talk about. There is yet another example of it that we're going to bring up, so stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, we got a good one. The top 10 most influential first ladies. Think about it. Think about it. I want to see if Ed knows who's number one. I think it's an easy one. But we'll give Ed a little time to think about that one. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Hey, guys, the best place you can go to get your hair cut in Tampa Bay, and I've been all over the place for many years, it's in Dunedin. It's in the Overcash Plaza. It's called Andrew's Master Barbershop. They have a great price. Seniors get an even better deal. They've got great people. I mean, really pros that cut your hair. And you can't go wrong. I mean, you can go to a hair salon. They change salon people every other week, don't they? Every other month, they come and go. At Andrew's Master Barbershop, you got the same wonderful crew. You never have to worry about it. He's been around doing this for well over 30 years. Anyway, just call 727-733-3773, you guys. Make your appointment, Andrew's Master Barbershop. And by the way, good morning, Clearwater. I can't think of a better show to start off my day than getting up in the morning and flipping on the radio and listening to those people because they're so fun to listen to. They just, no matter how bad things are going, I listen to them and I feel better right away. Good morning, Clearwater. Paul and Tracy Allen and Tony. Can't go wrong. All right. So, as we said, Gavin Newsom is, I wonder where he is right now. I wonder if he's curled up in the fetal position in Sacramento, in the White House, or whatever they call the place that he lived, the governor's mansion in California. But they are striking a confident tone, those Democrats, because he's a Democrat. Here is his strategist, Sean Clegg. Quote, I don't see a scenario where we're not talking about a victory for the governor. Well, of course he's going to say that. Can you imagine your strategist coming out and saying, we don't have a ghost of a chance? Of course he's going to say that. He says, I think what we're seeing in our projection in the early voting is we're performing so well, we might reach a point where there's not enough Republicans to vote left on the table for them to overtake us. Well, here's the deal. It's always the energetic people that are motivated to go to the polls. The ones that are not that excited about it, they'll find an excuse not to go. I think the more energetic people are the ones that are going to vote against Newsom. They've looked around that state. What has gone right for California recently? Can anybody tell me? They are losing businesses to other states. They are losing population. They've lost a congressional seat because their population is going down. There are wildfires. There are droughts. There's homelessness in every major city there. They've got the highest, you know, they pay more taxes than any other state when you come right down to it. That includes the gas tax, which I think is pushing their per gallon cost to close to $5 a gallon. I mean, can you imagine that here on the East Coast? Well, let's say here in Tampa Bay, we get upset if we get to $3. They're pushing $5 out there. I mean, how much would it take to fill up a tank? $100 and some if you were empty? Think about that. Can you imagine? I remember the days where if it cost you more than $18 or $20, they would say, oh, you must have a truck with a big tank. But $100 to fill up your tank in California. So I don't know. If I was a Democrat, maybe I wouldn't tell everybody else, but I would go and vote for the Republican. Now, who's going to be the Republican that might win? Well, the only one is Larry Elder, apparently.
You'd say $100 to fill your tank. That'd be a lawnmower tank?
Well, I'm talking about how much does it cost here for you to fill your tank here in Tampa Bay?
I just filled mine at almost $3 a gallon, so it was $60.
$60, yeah. And I've gotten close to that with my car.
I miss those ancient days of 40.
I miss the ancient days of 20, where wow. You could fill your tank. I mean, when it used to be 98 cents. Hell, I remember when it was 32 cents a gallon. So I tell you what, back in the 60s, in the mid-60s, it was 32.9 cents a gallon.
I remember when gas pumps didn't have a point in front of the number. remember the mayhem? Remember they wanted to go to liters when gas went over a dollar and all those scrolling pumps didn't have...
Correct.
And they were all...
We were all worried that everything was going to change and
they were gonna, go to liters. They were going to put us on the liter system. Boy, that screwed everybody up. Everybody had to go back to high school.
I thought we were going on the liter system. That's interesting you bring that up. You know? But we do have what? I mean, now we know what a 2-liter bottle of Coke is, right? We know what the size of a 2-liter bottle is.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we're going to talk later a little bit more about Gavin Newsom. It's a very interesting situation with him. If you know how bad he is, every time you see him on the screen, you want to go take a, I don't know, wash your hands. That's what I would say about Gavin.
Well, people like that, they think that they're so good and they're so great that they don't think
anything's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that they've convinced themselves, basically.
Do you think Cuomo had that feeling?
Like a dictator would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Cuomo had that feeling for a while? The way remember he was sitting, getting up there and talking? Yeah. Then he had his book out. Yeah. He could do no wrong. And if I just continue to talk to people and soothe them. Yeah. I can get past this.
He used to feel that way.
Yeah.
He's that
no longer.
Maybe he feels this is all like a dream.
You know what they say.
He'll wake up, be back in the governor's office.
The higher they go, or the bigger they, whatever the thing is, the harder they fall. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. There you go. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, I can't wait to talk with Ben Weingarten of Real Clear Politics. January 6th and the violence there versus the rioting by Black Lives Matter.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works, and delighted to have Ben Weingarten join us. Ben is an editor at Real Clear Investigations. That is a wing of Real Clear Politics. And he's also a Claremont Fellow, and we're going to talk a little bit about Real Clear Investigations and this database, which they have compiled. It compares the violence and the trouble during that January 6th. I don't want to call it an insurrection. I think that's an unfair thing. The January 6th violence at the Capitol building with those protests by Black Lives Matter all over the place, and also Donald Trump's inauguration. Remember when he was inaugurated and the trouble that ensued after that? We're going to talk a little bit about that. Ben, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I'm very interested in this. You know, I have looked at the January 6th violence in a way as the Democrats' security blanket. They will go back and refer to that as if, you know, when people talk about all the violence going on in Seattle and Portland and Minneapolis and New York and this and that. But don't forget that horrible attack, you know, on the Capitol building. And they make it seem like it's really, you know, all kinds of people were injured, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I'm very interested in this database. Tell us a little bit about what you found out.
Yeah, so the background of this project, the context of it bears noting, I think, here, which is that Real Clear Investigations sees as its mission filling gaps that the media misses or pursuing angles that the media refuses to pursue but that merit them. And in the case of the treatment of January 6th by the corporate media, by our political class as well, to your point, it's been presented as an armed insurrection on the level of a 9/11 or Pearl Harbor, or the worst atrocities of the Civil War. The American people, in polling, seem to take a slightly different view, which is that pluralities, if not majorities of Americans, have indicated an interest in Congress, both investigating what transpired on January 6th, as well as the summer 2020 riots, following the murder of George Floyd. The media only presents one story. We feel it's our job to present the entire story, and we think that the public has an interest in hearing that entire story. So what we've done here is lay out a side-by-side analysis, an apples-to-apples analysis, looking at the size, scope, and nature of what transpired at the Capitol and what transpired in over 140 cities across the country during the summer of 2020, as well as, to your point, another comparable, the 2017 inauguration riot, and then also looked at both the prosecutorial and the investigative rigor applied to these cases. And we found three major points that we've pulled out, but they're all manner of points that one can draw from this analysis. The first one being that the summer 2020 riots resulted in 15 times more injured police officers, 30 times as many arrests, and estimated damages in dollar terms of up to 1,300 times the cost of the damage inflicted at the Capitol, $1 to $2 billion versus $1.5 million. Another point that we raise in terms of the high-level takeaways is that the pursuit of the Capitol rioters has seemed to be at a substantially greater level than that of those who committed offenses during the summer 2020 riots. And you can look at, for example, the fact that there have been 570 arrests at one place in the Capitol riot, over 16,000 arrests in the George Floyd riots. The George Floyd riots were not treated as domestic terrorism. The Capitol riot has been treated as domestic terrorism with the most expansive and invasive sort of investigative effort, as law enforcement officials themselves have said, perhaps in American history, the most complex investigation over one event, not so much over hundreds of events transpiring. And then, of course, in terms of the prosecution, we saw the mass dismissal of analogous cases brought during the summer 2020 riots in cities across the country, and only the most egregious offenses prosecuted. Conversely, when it comes to the Capitol riot cases, if you look at all of the 570-plus cases that have been brought, a plurality, if not a majority, of those charges have essentially been glorified trespassing charges. So we raise what some may perceive to be a double standard there in terms of the prosecution as well. And those are just a few of the high-level takeaways from this analysis. And we leave it to readers to make their own observations and assessments as to whether the rhetoric matches the reality in terms of political violence in America.
Yeah, absolutely. There was one person that was killed during the January 6th violence at the Capitol building, and it turned out to be a rather innocent woman that was coming through that got shot. She was not brandishing any kind of a weapon, as I recall. In fact, when it comes to weaponry in the Capitol building, the only thing I could see were people carrying signs. You correct me, please, if I'm wrong, but I don't remember that people were brandishing guns or knives or anything else. They were wandering around. It seemed like more than anything else, they were just kind of wandering aimlessly around the building. It wasn't like it was a group, a posse, you know what I mean? Or some sort of an organized group ready to deal vengeance on people. I don't know. I might get your thought on that. I don't know that it shows up in the data, but wasn't there only one fatality at the Capitol building?
Ashley Babbitt was the only person killed in the violence at the Capitol. There were three others, non-officers, who died as a result, or not even stemming from, but who perished that day, who participated in the riots. They all of either natural causes or, in one case, reportedly of an accidental drug overdose. And we have all of this detail in our analysis, and every single fact and figure is sourced from that analysis. More broadly, to your point about the weaponry used, it is a striking contrast. FBI Director Christopher Wray, under questioning, has said that at least one person at the Capitol that day had a weapon. Okay. But of the charges filed, there have been no arms charges filed against participants in the Capitol riots. And we went through the massive court documents and compiled the litany of weapons that were found on people. And we ranked them in terms of kind of most dangerous to lesser dangerous. And we found knives, flagpoles, fire extinguishers, baseball bats, etc. If you look at the dangerous weapons encountered during the summer 2020 riots, there were firearms which were discharged in, I believe, several dozen cases, incendiary devices, including Molotov cocktails, vehicles, rocks, bricks, fireworks as well, lasers pointed at officers and beyond. And then, of course, the FBI itself has recently, it appears, leaked, I think it was to Reuters or the AP, that there was not really evidence that this was an organized, concerted effort to overthrow the certification effort. If you look at the tactics that were used during the summer 2020 riots, in many instances, they were far more sophisticated, something like counterinsurgency kind of tactics in terms of the weaponry used and how it was employed, in many cases to try and attack police officers. So these are just some of the comparisons that have not been done by the media, and we've helped to try to fill that gap because we think it merits it, given the public focus and obviously, you know, the broader context here of a countering domestic terror strategy that the Biden administration is seeking to execute in the country, and January 6th being one of the linchpin anecdotes that's pointed to justify that effort.
Exactly. We're talking with Ben Weingarten, who is eloquently telling us why the media is turning a blind eye to one side while it focuses, I think, inordinately on the other. He's with Real Clear Investigations. He's the editor there. He's also a Claremont fellow. They've put out a database that kind of side by side the January 6th protest and violence versus the Black Lives Matter all over the place. I want to ask you this: if I'm not mistaken, during the rioting that was going on in Portland for that extended period of time, I saw the media, the mainstream media, trying to kind of look the other way. But didn't they go try to break into the federal building there? I mean, we don't hear much about when they're talking about, violating the sanctity of a federal office. Weren't they trying to break into it there?
Yeah, absolutely. And we raised that point in the database that one of the reasons the media will say this is not, there's no moral equivalence, essentially, between what transpired on January 6th and the summer 2020 riots, beyond the fact that they will say that the Capitol riot was based on the big lie about election integrity, whereas the summer 2020 riots were rooted in a just social justice movement, is that the Capitol riot was an assault on our democracy. We're a republic, but we won't challenge them there. Whereas the summer 2020 riots were not assaults on authority. Well, leaving aside, of course, the attacks on law enforcement, which we document and chronicle in this database, there were perpetual attacks on the Portland federal courthouse throughout the summer and beyond for weeks, really. We saw, of course, the occupation of city blocks, several city blocks in Seattle via Chaz/CHOP, and we saw a Minneapolis police precinct burned to the ground. So there clearly were assaults on political institutions, on law and order itself as well. And again, we don't raise our own judgment as an institution, as an organization, as to how people should see these events, but we at least believe they ought to be viewed side by side, and we try to capture that here. And it's worth noting, of course, that we go into the detail of the most egregious acts that happened at the Capitol, clearly assaults and violence and police officers, but we try to raise the fact that there were violence in all of these cases, and we ought to look at the size, scope, and nature of that violence.
Right. Hey, Ben, can I have my colleague Ed Davis ask you a question here? Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Ben, if anything that Black Lives has taught us, Black Lives Matter has taught us, is the fact that the difference between demonstrations or, quote, protests and riots is day and night, specifically because protests and demonstrations are usually held during the day and riots are held at night. And if I'm not mistaken, the protest that was during the day at the Capitol building, when it was announced that, hey, at dark, you people better go home, everybody went home.
The Capitol was cleared out within 5 hours. It went from the initial violence to order in the tick by tick. And it's interesting, you raise the time at which the events transpired. Attorney General Merrick Garland, under questioning, essentially said that a distinction of what might happen, and it may have been specifically about that Portland federal courthouse, is whether or not individuals were engaging in protest into violence during this session in which a court or a Congress is conducting its business versus not. So the time of day and what's transpiring in the building was raised as the standard by the Attorney General. Again, you have to leave it to the American people to assess whether or not that's a legitimate distinction or not. But I do think it also bears noting when you talk about protests at buildings, of course, many people have raised the issue of, look, there were the pounding on the doors of the Supreme Court, I believe, during the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation hearings. And it's been raised in by at least one federal judge in these cases whether or not felony charges are really merited here, given how do you draw a distinction between what transpired in terms of the people, as you noted, aimlessly walking in the Capitol versus protesters shouting during any other hearing that occurs in Congress. And last thing that's worth pointing out is that, as Jonathan Turley has noted, if the standard that was used in terms of using lethal force on Ashley Babbitt was the proper standard, then would you have not had scores of people shot at justifiably during those summer 2020 riots as well, potentially? And I think all those points are ones that are worth investigating. And again, what we try to do is present the facts and leave it to readers to make their own assessments.
Ben, it's a real pleasure talking with you about this. I hope people will go and visit the website and take a look at that chart. It's an eye-opener. Thank you so very much.
Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Okay. Ben Weingarten, Real Clear Investigation. Yeah, get over there and look at that thing. It was really something to see.
You remember when you had Neville Kramer on, your security expert, that it was actually used to be, I believe, a Capitol officer?
I don't know if he worked at the Capitol. He did a lot of border work, but yes, he did get
something with the Capitol.
Yeah,
I
think he did get involved with that to some extent.
And he actually did say that officer that basically choked on that move, firing at that woman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure. It was a little bit of a,
Of course,
he lost it for a moment.
If it were the other way around, my God, that place would have burnt down.
We would be building a shrine to Ashley Babbitt if she was a progressive.
And if it were Black Lives Matter, thank God there weren't any free shoes and stuff in there. That place would have been stripped.
They'd all come running in with shopping carts, would they not?
Okay. This will teach them.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, my goodness. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, among other things, did you know the Secretary of State is being asked questions about Afghanistan? Let's go look at that. So stay tuned. We'll be back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works. By the way, we are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network, and we're delighted to be here. So hope you can listen live. But if you cannot, you have a second chance, my friends, because Big Ed sets up all of our shows on podcast. That means go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button, and you can listen to any of those shows. Bless his little heart. All right. Hey, we've got our eye in the northern sky with us, Angelo Ceresi. Andrew, the master barber, is not with us. He's, oh no, it's Andrew. Okay, wow, I'm getting all confused. I was trying to read lips, and we did not expect Andrew. So I thought when Ed was waving at me, he meant Angelo. Andrew, you're with us.
Yeah, Paul, I was able to get some time in here because I just couldn't miss it. Well, I had it on in the shop, you know, and I heard you guys talking, and I'm glad Ed talked about the cop that shot Ashley Babbitt, because that was the first thing I was going to say, but he took care of that.
You are combining Ashley and Wayne Babbitt. Babbitt, not Bobbitt. Those were two different violent acts. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. But anyway, Ed took care of that one. You guys clarified all that, what would have happened if it was reversed. But
yes.
Anyway, what do you think about the Republicans going to vote in California already? What's happening?
This is a very interesting situation out in the Golden State, is it not? All kinds of attention. I don't think the Californians that live there like the kind of attention they've been getting recently. But they got homelessness, they got fires, they always had earthquakes, and they got this lousy, speaking about earthquakes, Gavin Newsom.
Well, Paul, my money is on Gavin Newsom winning, because, you know, that's Pelosi's nephew, number one.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Okay, that's
yeah, I forgot
nephew,
about that.
Number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the Republicans are going to the polls, and they're telling them you voted already. The fix is in, Paul.
Now, that one you talked about yesterday, about them being told they already voted, I have yet to see a story on that. Ed, have you seen anything about that?
Yeah.
Californians, Republicans being told, hey, you already voted?
I haven't seen anything like that, but they're trying to...
intimidate?
No, they're trying to educate people, especially in San Francisco. And Andrew just brought it up, the homeless people.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi's district, those are not homeless people.
What
are they? They are street vendors.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I must have missed the sign.
Yeah.
look at what Biden is going to cause with his so-called mandate, okay, with 100 employees more. Nurses are quitting their jobs all over the country.
Yeah, it's backfiring.
The nursing homes. You know what? Joe's not going to have anybody to wipe his butt.
It is backfiring. This whole thing is backfiring. A lot of Democrats are upset. A lot of union people are saying that they are not going to be told that they have to go out and get a vaccine shot. It's not in their contract.
Well, if the mailman doesn't have to get a shot, why do I?
That's right. Well, of course,
postal workers, the teachers, they're all going to be exempt from it.
Yeah, it's backfiring.
Why? Because they were the big unions that backed up Joe, and they got nervous when he says, hey, we're done with you.
This is going to be as big a fiasco as coming out of the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Well, we don't even hear about that no more, do we?
Well,
they cover everything.
Right now, thank God, the Senate is grilling the Secretary of State Blinken as rhyming but not associated with Lincoln about this whole thing. And of course, Blinken is blinking and nodding and trying to dodge the questions they're asking about the incompetence, fatal incompetence of that withdrawal.
Well, there's no more pleading the fifth. Now you just blame Trump.
Yeah, exactly. He blamed Trump right at the opening statement.
Don't plead the fifth no more. Just blame Trump.
And they lie about this thing as if Biden couldn't have come in. He's already trashed everything else that Trump has done with an executive order. You mean to tell me that he couldn't change the scenario in Afghanistan? He's making this stuff up as he goes.
Well, one question I've got. These people we all got in Washington in these positions, they're just college graduates that have really never done anything or experienced any military life in their life whatsoever. They have no clue what they're talking about or what they are even doing.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's true.
You got Miley. He's a paid-off Democrat general.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. He wants to turn the army into a bunch of sissies.
Yeah, he wants a woke army. They're going to take away your guns. And what are they going to hand you? Some sort of a peacekeeping device? I'd like to see how that would work when somebody's about ready to do you in.
You know, Paul, I don't understand how any American can feel proud today of what's going on in this country when on Saturday, the anniversary of September 11th, the Taliban was wearing the American GI uniform, riding around an American equipment, holding American weapons. I hope that makes them a Taliban and an American GI's uniform. That make you feel real proud, Paul?
No, it's embarrassing. We lost a war. We lost a war to a bunch of tribal leaders.
America surrendered to something they could have taken out. Trump would have had them taken out in no time. But, you know, Joe Biden, he's compromised with China. China wants the lithium rights in Afghanistan. You're going to see the big push on electric cars coming from China. Joe Biden is compromised, period.
There's something going on. I think he's an incompetent. I'm wondering if I cannot believe that any military leader would say, look, let's just get the hell out of Afghanistan. Let's pull out of the Bagram Airport, the military airport. Let's leave all of those American civilians on the ground. Let's get out of there so that it looks good before September the 11th, 20-year anniversary. I mean, can you buy that? I think it's Biden that's overruling his own people that are giving him the advice. I'm just wondering, what are you?
Let me ask you one question.
Yeah.
How many people got killed in Afghanistan when Trump was president in the last 18 months?
None.
How many for Joe Biden?
Hundreds, because not only were there 13 military people killed in that grenade attack at the airport, but there were hundreds of other people that were in the crowd.
And how come I don't hear the women that are all out there with their pink hats and everything that were protesting in the streets in America for the women's rights? How come they're not protesting for the people and the women in Afghanistan? I think these American women that are doing this should take a flight over to Afghanistan and protest with these women.
You know, there are some Democrats that have brought that issue up, but not enough. I would say that. That you're right. It's like, if I can turn it a little bit, it's like the black Larry Elder, who is running for governor right now. He's the only Republican that has a shot at winning California. He's a black conservative. And so instead of the so-called woke crowd supporting Larry Elder, a man that's got individualistic ideas and has the guts to stand up, they're attacking him as an Uncle Tom. So that shows you the depth of their integrity, right?
Well, they have no integrity. They have no brains. They don't even know what they protested. What does woke mean? Tell me what woke means.
I know. I used to think it means getting out of bed at 8 in the morning, but I guess it's not that anymore.
But you know, Paul,
I woke up.
People are waking up, Paul. I give the
No, they're waking up.
I give college football a lot of credit, Paul, because they're not sitting there like the NFL and going woke as can be. You've seen what's happened at the college football games. Okay? I don't have to say it because we can't repeat it on the radio.
No, they were saying some bad things about...
You know what? The people at the NFL game should be doing the same thing, especially when they play one song.
Wasn't there that, and Ed, maybe I can ask Ed, he's on the phone right now, but I want to, did you know that they are playing sort of
the Black Anthem.
A Black Anthem prior to the NFL game?
I know they played it. I know they played it, Paul, but they won't show it on TV.
No, they won't.
Okay, but you know that Goodall, the guy in charge of the NFL, who his father was, he was the most useless liberal senator there ever was.
Yeah.
His son didn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
And the American people should not watch the NFL. They shouldn't go to any of the games, and they should teach these people a lesson. But the American people do not have the guts to stand up for what is right.
Yeah.
They're concerned about their own personal entertainment.
Yeah. I think I'm going to cancel my Cleveland Browns season pass.
That's good, man.
Well, I tell you what,
I don't care who's playing. I will not watch one football game on my television. Yeah.
Ed, you didn't hear what we were talking about, I'm sure, but we were talking about that black, would you call it before the football games, the NFL game, sort of a black national anthem?
No, they call it, it's the Black Anthem, and they did. I heard it the first game, but I have not heard it on the other games.
But
I
they are
know.
Playing them, aren't they? They are still playing them,
it
but
was
they're just
played
not,
in the
they're
series
not showing
of,
it.
Before, I don't know if they're not showing it.
I think they're not showing it.
If they're not showing it, that's fine.
That's what I'm saying. They are playing it because
they're not making a special effort to shove it down our throats.
No, but are they also not?
But Andrew, you got to remember too that they also have words in the end zone. Black Lives Matter. They have end racism on the helmets and stuff like that. They're still going to walk that line.
Yeah. See, and this is the thing.
Then the people. I'm sorry. The people should not tolerate it. They need to stand up. I don't care how much you like football. You're going to have to walk the beach or something on a Sunday. Until they learn their lesson and keep the politics out of the game.
I know people. I do know people that have vowed not to watch NFL games anymore. Because,
I won't watch.
And they are big. They were big football fans, too, by the way.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? I respect those people.
Yeah.
They love their country, and they're standing up for what's right. These people are making $20 million a year to put down this country and promote politics. Forget about it.
Yeah.
They got to depend on me. They'd be flipping burgers at McDonald's, believe me.
Speaking of that, a lot of these places still need workers, don't they?
Everybody needs workers.
I know. I'm just talking about the
American people got lazy, Paul. You know what? Let them watch their country tumble down in front of them. When there's no money to give them, see what they do.
Yeah, we've lost. I think the core reason we were successful, we have lost it. We used to be what's called a melting pot. Now we're like a salad. You know how you
chicken soup, buddy.
We would melt into Americanism. People from all over the world would come here, become citizens, and melt into what the common American culture was. Now it's more like a salad bowl where you throw one thing on top of another, but they don't integrate.
And then they chop it all up.
Yeah.
I call it chicken soup.
Chicken soup, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I can believe that. Andrew, I'm so glad we got to talk with you. Nicole is doing better a little bit, I understand.
Yeah, she is, Paul, and thank God for that, huh?
Oh,
and
thank God.
I'm telling anybody, if you get any symptoms of this COVID, your governor, Ron DeSantis, is setting up all kind of Regeneron sites in Florida. Mm-hmm. The minute you get a nose sniffle, go get the Regeneron shot, and you're going to have no symptoms in 24 hours. You're going to be fine.
So how are they going to find these Regeneron places? You said
Paul, I guess you get right on the computer, and you go to florida.gov or something.
Really?
Or go to Ron DeSantis' site. I believe they got one of these Regenerons right on Cleveland Street.
Here in downtown Clearwater? Okay. So everybody go to the Ron DeSantis site on the internet. Maybe you can find out more about it. Andrew, thank you so much. I'll be stopping by the place in a few minutes.
You got it, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
We love you. All right. Thanks so much. There he goes. I'm glad he was on. He told me that he couldn't make it. He had all these other things going on. So I thought it was Angelo that was going to be with us. Anyway, we're going to take our final break, my friends. And when we come back, the top 10 most influential first ladies.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Dancing, dancing, dancing.
She's a dancing machine.
Oh, baby. Move it, baby.
Hey, we are back. for the final segment of Freedom Works. And I'm looking up at the screen, Ed, and Anthony Blinken, a Secretary of State, talking away there and trying to tell the Senate Armed Services Committee what went wrong or what didn't go wrong.
And yeah, I'm reading his lips too. Trump's fault. Yes, sir, it was Trump's fault.
I'm afraid you're right.
No, sir, it was Trump's fault.
Yes.
Did you see that picture of the Taliban sitting behind that big shiny government desk? Boy, did they look out of place there? Look like,
don't they?
But like a bunch of fat-belly beer-drinking dudes in a caviar taste testing.
Yeah, well, they can sit in there. They can sit in the cockpit of some of our military aircraft. And they did, and they had pictures taken there as well.
Did you buy Jen Psaki's explanation on that the ones that were left behind,
they're going to be able to turn off ability.
Military incapacitated them, I think she was.
Right.
They showed like four helicopters, a couple with some broken windows. One had a rotator that was broken, which probably happened in combat. I don't know.
I cannot understand. I mean, it's breathtakingly incompetent how we did this. And I don't know, I cannot understand how any military person that had anything to do with that withdrawal, why he doesn't just resign out of embarrassment for what happened. And the same thing with our Secretary of State. And by the way, one of the congressmen yesterday, because he was before the House Armed Services Committee yesterday, today he's before the Senate Committee, told him he should resign to his face.
Yeah, I saw that.
He should have just said, "Will you resign?" and waited to hear what the guy would say. I would like him to slide around in his chair, you know?
Yeah.
It just drives me crazy. Before we get to our top 10, we have a very good one, Ed. I want to see if you know who's number one first lady.
I have an idea.
But before we get there, we don't give enough credit to the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, we do when we talk a lot about it, but it seems like they're the one that's doing all these things and nobody's looking. I don't know. What's going on?
You're praising them right now, but they're kind of going into a slump.
Well, maybe a little. They're still in first place.
Here's the thing. The Blue Jays, the Toronto Blue Jays, have jumped over the Yankees and the Red Sox for the number one wild cards just like that. And right now, I believe they're 8 games behind the Rays.
That's a long
way. They have 2 games coming up to play. They played one last night. They got blown out. The Rays did. They got 2 more games coming up. I believe they will sweep the Rays. And they could be as much as 6 games back with about 19 to play.
But you don't think that they're going to be overtaking the Rays, do you? Really?
I think they're going to come dangerously close.
You do? Okay.
You know why? Because I think at this point right now, the Rays think they're so far ahead.
Yeah.
They're starting to put in some of the
secondary players?
Well, the guys that they brought up from the minor leagues.
Okay.
To give their guys a break.
Yeah.
And that competitiveness is not there.
Momentum.
It's like resting your starters.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
No, I know exactly what you're saying.
So
if you don't play them and lubricate them by playing all of the time, they go rusty.
They're afraid to get hurt.
Yeah,
what I'm saying.
I don't like that either. I hope that their manager Kevin Cash is not of that thinking. That's scary.
You lose the momentum.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think that's what we're going to see for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, I hope you're wrong. I hope you're wrong. I'm looking forward to them being in the World Series. I really am, because I don't watch games all the way through, but in the World Series, I do.
They've already lost more games this month than they have all of last month.
Well, you're just being a little bit...
No, I'm being...
But you're scaring me, Ed.
That's a truthful stat right there.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah. I want to be made secure about our Rays. And I think they'll do okay. But we'll see. Okay, very good. All right. Time for you to get on the drums, Ed. These are the top 10 most influential first ladies. It comes from thestate.com. Let me give you a little warning. I think it's a liberal organization that ranked them. Okay. And let me give you a further warning. Melania Trump was not in office when they did it.
Oh,
it was 2016.
They wouldn't have put her on there anyway.
I don't think they would have either.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens. Here we go. Number 10. Rosalynn Carter. You remember Rosalynn Carter?
She's probably better than her husband.
Yeah, in many ways.
Yeah.
I wonder how her health is these. Rosalynn Carter took up mental health research as her main cause and served as honorary chair of the Commission on Mental Health. Number nine, Martha Washington. I don't remember her, and don't say I did. She's ranked number nine as the very first First Lady. During her time, she managed the presidential household and held weekly receptions.
I thought she got her autograph.
I tried to get her husband's autograph, but he was out tending the farm and milking the cows. Number eight, Betty Ford. Remember Betty Ford?
Gerald Ford. Clinic, isn't it? It's a clinic, isn't it?
Yeah, she was exactly right. That's right. She took up numerous causes. She had a little bit of a drinking problem. She founded the Betty Ford Center to Combat Substance Abuse. Okay, number seven, Lady Bird Johnson, Lyndon Johnson's wife, active environmentalist, dedicated herself to national beautification. They used to say plant a bird, a tree, a bush, a tree, or a bird or something like that. Very, very interesting. All right. Number six. Your favorite, Ed, Hillary Clinton. She advocated for health care reform and supported children's and women's issues. Yeah? There were certain women who she didn't seem to advocate for, like Paula Jones and Kathleen Willey. And who else, you know?
She started that Society for the Abuse, Anti-Abuse Against Pantsuits, wasn't it?
Yes. You have a good memory. A little foggy, but a good one. Number five. Michelle Obama, she took up numerous causes, they say. Numerous causes, including childhood obesity. I think that one's a cheap shot. Anyway, number four. Dolly Madison. Remember the Dolly Madison cupcakes and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Dolly Madison, important precedent, social causes, supported, she had a lot of things going on, apparently. All right, number three. I got to hurry up. Jacqueline Kennedy, yeah. Although she served as First Lady for fewer than 3 years, Jackie, iconic figure, she helped support a grief-stricken nation after his assassination. All right, number two. Abigail Adams. This is John Adams' wife, the second president. Abigail played an important role in the early days of the Republic. First couple to reside in the White House. There you go. Okay, Ed. Who do you think is number one, First Lady?
I would have to say, without a doubt, Nancy Reagan.
Okay, you're absolutely wrong.
What?
Eleanor
she started the no,
Roosevelt.
Say no to drugs, right?
Eleanor Roosevelt. I knew she would be number one, and she deserves it.
Really?
Yep. FDR's wife, influential during the Great Depression and World War II, and after his death, she remained a national and global figure. And she was a good one.
Hmm.
All right, my friends. Thank you so much. Stay tuned, because you're going to have Joy on Paper, hosted by Patsy with a Z, right after the news. We'll be back Friday. And remember, freedom works.
Captivating, stimulating. She's such a sexy lady. Filled with space age design.
She's moving, she's grooving. Dancing until the music stops now. Yeah.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kaif, and voters are casting ballots right now on the Republican bid to recall California Governor Gavin Newsom.
I believe he will be recalled. You know, I hope for our state.
CBS's Major Garrett has more on what Newsom's top advisors are saying.
They said there is no scenario, their words, no scenario in which the governor loses this recall election. That, they said, was based on public polls, their own internal polls, and what they described as heavy early Democratic turnout. That confidence notwithstanding, here is what we know. 8 million ballots have already been sent in this recall. general election, California spent more than $200 million to hold it, and Gavin Newsom, the governor, has plowed more than $65 million into the effort to keep his job.
Along the Texas coast, more than a foot of rain has come down thanks to Nicholas, first a hurricane, now a tropical storm. CBS's Janet Shamlian is weathering the storm outside Houston.
In the community of Kima, a coastal community, you can see